This is Family Court Vision,
the podcast where some guy and his mom discuss all things basketball.
On today's episode, we have basketball news, and don't forget to vote for the GOAT. We have some drama in the MNBA. We review the movie Boogie. You know how every episode, Jack, you say, let's boogie, and you say it like that's a good thing?
Oh, yeah.
This movie might have us rethinking your tagline.
Yeah, you're right.
And then our game of the week, it was my birthday this week, so our game of the week is trivia about me. And we'll see if Jack has made it a happy or sad birthday based on how much he knows about his dear old mother.
It's a lot of pressure, Mom. Yeah, as you said, unfortunately, let's boogie.
Welcome to episode 35 of Family Court Vision. It is 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesday, September 8th.
We're back at our normally scheduled recording time after what feels like
100
years. Yeah, mm-hmm. Without. Mm-hmm. And yesterday was your birthday. Pew, 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 pew.
I am 25 years old.
Yes, congratulations on your 25th.
Did you rearrange your living room?
Yes.
Is that your couch on that side now?
It is our couch on that side now.
That's so exciting.
It is very exciting.
I was just distracted. What were you going to say about my birthday? Were you still talking about me?
How was your birthday, Mom?
My birthday was great. I got to see 2/3 of my children and 1/3 by FaceTime. So,
and that was 2 out of 3 children, not 2/3 of each of us.
That's true. That is true. Yes. Yesterday was also the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah. First time my birthday has in my lifetime of being Jewish. First time my birthday has been on Rosh Hashanah. It was very early this year. Rosh Hashanah, not my birthday. Birthday, same time every year. But so I spent the morning making soup because we can't have a holiday without chicken soup. So I made soup.
Matzo ball soup, yeah.
Matzo ball soup. And then I went to one of my favorite breakfast restaurants, Hatch, for brunch.
Oh, I didn't know that. Nice.
Got huevos rancheros, which is my favorite item on the menu at my favorite breakfast restaurant.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And then I got to see you guys.
Yeah. We had the whole, not just us, but the extended family as well doing Rosh Hashanah.
That's right. Everybody sang happy birthday. And it's also your Aunt Bonnie's birthday today. And she was there last night also. So we all sang happy birthday to her as well.
Yep. Yeah. It was good. Food was good. Dessert was good. Good to see everybody.
You probably drove longer than you actually were there.
Yes, I think that's true.
All right. Well, thank you. That was nice.
Yes, it was worth it. We also, this past weekend, attended an engagement party.
That is right. You are correct about that.
That was for my sister and her fiancé. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. We had extended family and friends, and it was very graciously hosted by a good friend of the family as well. Mm-hmm. Some multiple good friends of the family.
And it was also fun because your sister and her fiance decided that there was going to be a theme and people needed to dress in costume.
Yes.
So they said, since their love is a love for all time, the theme was decades. And they asked everybody to dress in their favorite decade. I don't know if everyone dressed in actually their favorite decade or some people just picked a decade to dress in. I absolutely dressed in my favorite decade.
The 80s. Yes. Yeah.
Girls just want to have fun. So.
Yep. And I did the 70s with the collar and some disco boots and
some like bell-bottomy, wide-legged pants.
Yep.
Yeah. You looked amazing.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah.
So that was a ton of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then Monday was also Labor Day. I was off work and I went into the city for just a lone city day. I just walked all around. I got like almost 20,000 steps in.
Wow.
But I went to like every park they have except the central one. But I got to see some outdoor art. I got some free ice cream.
Amazing.
So yeah. Anything else happened since? We did skip last week, so it has been 2 weeks since our last recording, and 2 weeks ago was our special Barclays episode, so it's been 3 weeks since our last regular episode.
I did post a very special midweek news update the other day on our Instagram, so
yes,
that
you
was
did.
My first attempt at that. Maybe I'll do more. We'll see.
Yeah, I think it's great. Yeah, so everybody check that out. It was a good way to check in on the news because we only record once a week. This was actually an idea of our producer Aaron Ferns to post some like midweek updates just so we can cover some news that were, you know, is old by the time we get to our next recording session. So we will do more of those, and good job taking the lead on that first one.
Yeah, sure.
Speaking of some news, let's get into basketball news of the week.
Basketball news of the week, since the WNBA season is still going on, we're going to start with WNBA. So playoffs are bearing down on us. There's actually only one more home game for the Liberty a week from Friday. I think they only have three more games total. And then that's it. That's the end of the regular season.
Yes.
So what do we have here? Let's see. We have first place Sun, second place Aces. Now, this is just... There's not an Eastern Conference standing and a Western Conference standing. I mean, there are, but in order to get in the playoffs, it's just the top eight. Right? No matter which conference.
Right.
So we've got a mix of the two conferences, although the Western Conference is a little top heavy. The Sun in the Eastern Conference is number one, but then we have the Aces, the Storm, and the Lynx. And the Mercury in 2, 3, 4, and 5 in the Western Conference. And then the Sky is in sixth place. Wings
and
are in
all
seven.
Those top six have all clinched the playoffs.
Yes.
So they're definitely all going.
Yes.
You know, the last couple games could change seeding.
That's right.
Among those six teams, but all six of those teams are going to the playoffs.
Do the top two teams get 2 weeks of byes?
Two rounds, right? Yeah, 2 rounds of byes. So it's looking like the Sun will pretty solidly be in one of those top two seeds, but the Aces and the Storm are only one game apart. So their last couple games could be a big factor in who gets that coveted two seed.
And at this very second, the Wings are in seventh and the Liberty are in eighth. But
yes.
Right behind them are the Mystics in ninth and the Sparks in tenth. So
yeah. So it's those four teams fighting for those last two playoff spots. Two of the Liberty's last three games are against the Wings, who are a game and a half above them, and the Mystics, who are a half game below them. So it's going to really come down to it.
Like, when I'm looking at the win and loss record, like, the Liberty have played 29 games, but the Fever have only played 27.
Uh-huh.
I assume they're going to catch up and everyone will have played the same number of games by the end. But if they've only played 27, the Fever, I know they're like in last place, but the Fever have only played 27 games. So that means they have more games than the Liberty. So they might even, based on their current record, have an even worse record. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's really coming down to it. We will see what happens. Everything might be set by the time we next record. But yeah, we'll see. Liberty are in kind of a big skid right now. They've lost six in a row.
Yeah.
Although their last couple games have been more competitive and they have been dealing with some injuries. So
something I've noticed about Sabrina, who, you know, she's the one who everyone talks about. I don't know that she's the strongest one on the team. When she's playing well, she certainly is, you know, really great, but she is inconsistent. And one thing I've noticed about her, and other people have mentioned as well, but I did notice, is that when she's not playing well, or when the game is not going well, it kind of gets in her head and she does even worse.
Uh-huh.
So she's not able to, at this time, you know, get outside of her own head and just play the game and work hard on it. Because if she's like doing well, then she keeps doing well. And if she's not, then she really doesn't. So that's just something I've noticed.
Uh-huh. I just realized I'm wearing my WNBA
jam. Oh, you have
shirt,
the one that you got at the Barclays.
Yes.
Take a picture. Let's post it later.
I will. Yeah.
And the other thing I noticed, I know I talked to you about this because I had a question for you about this, was that I have noticed, you know, not 100%, but I've noticed that when the Liberty, they've been playing, I guess maybe the WNBA organized their schedule this year, so you're playing the same team, or at least geographically the same areas within a certain time period. So, you know, there are like series. So when the Liberty plays a team, the first time they play them, they might not do well, but they do better the second time. So you might say that that's because they've gotten some experience with that team. But my question was, does that mean the coaching should be better, that they should know how to coach, you know, how to practice before that first game? If the girls can learn from what they're doing, shouldn't they be working on those things already before the first game?
Mm-hmm.
So that's my question. I don't know.
And I think I gave you a pretty unsatisfying answer last time. And
I
have the same. Yeah. I mean, you know, because you could think about it, you could think about it from that perspective, like, oh, second game, you know, Walt noticed the tendencies of the other team and coached them up. But then, like, what about the other team's coach? Did they, then is it not coaching? Because then they technically did worse. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what that answer is.
All right.
We also had, for this 25th anniversary season for the WNBA, they announced, they had said they were going to do this, but they announced the top 25 players in WNBA history.
Yep. And you get to vote for one of them, and they're calling it Vote for the GOAT.
Yes.
So you can vote once a day. I haven't done once a day, but it just started the other day. And I don't know how long it goes, but the first day was like, I don't know, because I'm not that familiar with the retired players. You know, some of the more famous ones, I know their names. I voted for Lisa Leslie the first day because she's been in some movies we've seen. And obviously she's good because she's, you know, on the list. But like that, for me, gave her the edge. But today I decided to sit down and look at all of their stats.
Oh,
like
wow.
Not their stats necessarily, but the awards that they've won.
Mm-hmm.
The honors that they've won. For all 25 of them. One thing I learned is that they did one of these lists at the 5-year, 10-year, 15-year, and 20-year mark as well. So try and guess who, in my opinion, based on these number of championships, number of All-Star games, I even put the number of Olympic medals in there, MVP, finals MVP, named to the first team, second team, assists, all-star MVP. There's this peak performance award that they give out for assists and there's three things I can't remember. All-time scoring, steals, defensive player of the year, blocks, and rebounds. So I looked at all these categories, and another category I looked at is how many of these women were named on the previous lists.
Uh-huh.
So based on all that, try and guess who my number one was.
Now, I did see something on social media. Did you give it away on social media?
I did.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Dang.
I can't lie.
So now you know. I know you can't lie, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, but you posted about Sue Bird. Today.
That's right. Because I voted for her today based on my stats. So here's why. There are 7 women who have won 4 WNBA championships. That's the most. And if Sue Bird's team does well this year, she could end up with 5. And Simone Augusta still plays. Is that true? Or she's retired?
No, retired.
Okay. So if Sue Bird wins championship this year, she'll be the only one with 5.
Uh-huh.
Because Diana Taurasi only has 3 so far.
Uh-huh.
So she'll be the only one with 5. So that's pretty good. She's been in 12 All-Star games. Diana Taurasi's been in 10.
Uh-huh.
And that's taking nothing away from DT. She's right. Amazing.
Yeah.
Sue and Diana both have won 5 gold medals in the Olympics. Sue has been on the 10-year, 15-year, 20-year, and 25-year list.
She's been in the league a long time. Wow.
She's the oldest who's still playing and still doing well. She also won 2 yeah. peak performances.
She was, she was on the 10-year list. Mm-hmm. So 15 years ago.
She's been playing for 19 years now.
So take 15 years off of her career, and she was still
yeah.
one of the top players in WNBA history.
That's right.
Then add the next 15 years of accomplishments that she's
had. That's right. She's the highest. She has lifetime highest, whatever career highest, assists.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't have any MVPs, final MVPs. Things like that, but I think that's because of her game, which is assisting others.
Yeah, making other people around her better, yeah.
Right, and during the Olympics, that's what they were saying, is that she makes the rest of the people on her team better. So she is my pick, but number 2 on my list here, you know, with a lot of similar stats, are Cynthia Cooper. And then she was on the 10, 15, 20, and 25 list. And Tina Thompson also 10, 15, 20, and 25 list.
Pretty cool. I'm glad you did that.
Yeah.
Because similar to you, you know, I feel like I have a pretty good grasp now on the league as it stands today. I know who, you know, I know who the best players are. I could name you mm-hmm. a lot of players on every team. Mm-hmm. But the history of this league, I'm still learning about. So
I used those little post-it note flags. So when I was taking my notes, because I'm old, so I do everything in writing. Uh-huh. So when I was taking my notes, when I was like, oh, this person has the most in this category, I put a little post-it note flag. So then I looked at who has the most posted flags on my list. So the top 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The top 10 with the most posted flags were Sue Bird, Cynthia Cooper, Lindsay Whalen, Maya Moore, Cheryl Swoops, Tina Thompson, Simone Augustus, Swin Cash, Diana Taurasi, and Sylvia Fowles.
So would you say those are your top 10 greatest players in WNBA history?
I
think so. I
feel like they have to be. I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess they have to be.
Yeah. And you know they did, to determine these players, they did something, like they had categories where it was like, there was like 7 criteria categories, and to even make it onto this list, you had to have at least 4 of them. Mm-hmm. So maybe they should have you be a voter for the 30th.
I should be.
Yeah.
I said to Dad while I was doing this, I'm like, I feel like I'm Moneyball here.
Yeah, that's
working
right.
On all the math. Teresa Weatherspoon, I believe, is not on the list, and that is something that is outraging people.
Hmm.
And I think Dawn Staley is also not on this list, has been previously, but not currently.
I know that some people were saying that Becky Hammon shouldn't be on the list. You know, she's obviously had a great coaching career afterwards, and I think she had a great college career as well. But if you're just talking WNBA, I mean, she was an awesome player in the league. But I think people were saying that maybe some of those other names should come above her.
I think so. Some of these women were either started with the league, so they weren't drafted. Or it says allocated, which I assume means like when they opened another franchise, they take some people from other teams and put them on that team or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know how they did it, but that's often how expansion things happen.
But
yeah.
I'm pretty sure that Becky Hammon was not drafted at all.
Hmm.
So, interesting.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Okay.
Anything
so that's
else
a lot
on that?
Of information. No, I don't know if there could be anything else on that. That was a lot.
But this is super cool. Separate from basketball, I'm a big history nerd. Mm-hmm. But it's part of why I love basketball so much, because while it is a team sport, like, you can separate out individuals like this. Like, it's hard to compare who's the best football player of all time. A lot of people would say Tom Brady, but like, okay, but like, Lawrence Taylor was an awesome defensive player. You know, how do you compare a quarterback to a defensive player? Where like mm-hmm. every one of these players, even though they play different positions, do slightly different things, they're all going to do all of the basketball things. They're all going to defend. They're all going to pass, shoot, rebound, mm-hmm. all that stuff. So it's mm-hmm. easier to compare individual players. Mm-hmm. And so these lists, when they come out, are really cool to me to look back and recognize the history of the league and see how far it's come. And then when the 30-year list comes out, to look back at this one and what has changed and who's been added and who's been taken off. Mm-hmm. So super cool. The NBA is going into its 75th year, so they're going to do a similar 75-player list coming up next year, so we can look forward to that. Okay, in your midweek news thing, you talked a little bit about Top Shot. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up on that?
There's not, because I don't really understand it. They're giving you like a link, and you have a link to something, and it's your special link because you paid for it. It just seems sus, as the kids say. I don't get digital collectibles. So
yeah, I don't either.
If they want to send me like a little thumb drive, and that's where I have my, and then I can keep it. I've done that like at concerts. You know, I love Rob Thomas and Matchbox 20. And I've gone to their concerts, and then you can get like a USB bracelet. You can wear it as a bracelet, Ooh. A fashion piece, and then you can plug it in and listen to that concert again.
That's pretty cool.
So wow. Yeah, if I had something tangible, I don't get digital stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
This
happened a couple of weeks ago, but we haven't really had news on the podcast since then. The Women's Basketball Hall of Fame in Knoxville, Tennessee, inducted a new class. So they inducted Debbie Brock, who's a veteran collegiate player, Carol Callen. They have categories, so they consider her a contributor. So she's a FIBA executive who oversaw 6 consecutive gold medal Olympics. Swin Cash, who we mentioned a little earlier, she's played for several teams, including the Liberty. Tamika Catchings, who we saw recently being inducted
to the Naismith.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sue Donahoe, who's a contributor, NCAA, she passed away last December. She knew she was being inducted. This was postponed. So she knew she was being inducted prior to her passing. Lauren Jackson, an Australian player, David Stern, posthumously, he was a contributing founder to the WNBA. And Carol Stiff, a college coach, ESPN exec, president of the board of the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. Were all inducted.
Uh-huh. Super cool. Yeah. And then upcoming, we have the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame induction on Saturday, the second ceremony happening this year.
So this is like this year's class.
This is
a couple of months ago, it was the 2020 class.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think we said this last time, but the Naismith Basketball, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. So it's obviously not just men's, and it's also not just professional. You mm-hmm. you know, they talk about your college accomplishments. They talk about your international accomplishments, mm-hmm. And you know, coaching, anything like that. It all
and media.
Yes, yeah. Anything you had to do with the game in any form can be a contributing factor to your getting nominated and inducted. So. This year's class, I think I have everybody here: Chris Bosh, Yolanda Griffith, Lauren Jackson, Paul Pierce, Ben Wallace, Chris Weber, and then as coaches, Rick Adelman, Bill Russell, and Jay Wright. Okay. I think.
I have the list in front of me from their website, but it was not in that same order, so I don't know if you.
I think that was all the players and coaches. Sometimes they also have like other like contributors. Like you said, I may have missed those.
Yeah, they have something called award recipients. So there's the class of 2021. Then there are also award recipients. Carol Stiff, Lifetime Achievement. Mike Gorman, Electronic Media. Mel Greenberg, Print Media. George Kalinske, Electronic Media. And I am also looking at who are doing the presentations. So Vlade Divac is doing Rick Adelman's. So we've seen a movie with him in it. Ray uh-huh. Allen is doing Chris Bosh's. Uh-huh. Charles Barkley and a bunch of other people are doing Bill Russell. And Charles Barkley also doing Jay Wright.
Uh-huh.
So.
Cool. Yeah. So congrats to them. Mm-hmm. Anything else non-NBA, I guess?
Nope.
Okay. NBA. The big story, because free agency is mostly over, there's still a couple trickling news stories here and there. And training camp doesn't start for another like 3 weeks or so. So there's not much news except for this Ben Simmons stuff.
It's ongoing.
So You know, obviously, he had a really bad end to the last season with the Sixers. And there's been rumors ever since then that they need to trade him. I mean, there's been rumors for years and years now that they need to break up Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. But it seemed like this summer they have to get it done. And then there were all these things like, oh, maybe they'll trade him for Damian Lillard. So then there was all this Damian Lillard stuff. But then Damian Lillard seems to want to stay in Portland now. So, but now Ben Simmons and his agent, which is Rich Paul of Clutch Sports, they have made it known that if they are not, if he is not traded, he will not be showing up to training camp.
Oh.
So things are going to start getting ugly.
Yeah.
So, you know, the general feeling is Daryl Morey, the GM of the Sixers, is going to wait and try to find the best trade available. He really wants Damian Lillard. Doesn't seem like he's going to be available. He really wants Bradley Beal. Doesn't seem like he's going to be available. So, you know, we're not sure what kind of offers they're going to get. But this could get ugly, and it could, Ben Simmons could force his way out of Philly if he's just not going to play. You know, they want to have players that are going to play for them. So,
imagine if you just said to your job, yeah, I'm not coming.
Yeah.
I'm mad about something. I'm not coming to work.
You have to transfer me to the LA location. Otherwise.
Just not showing up. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. You know, we've talked about that it's a business and teams can just trade players whenever they want to. And there's a lot of criticism that comes to players about this. But this is a unique situation because often when players demand a trade, they often have 1 or maybe 2 years left on their contract. So they do have some leverage to say, okay, you can trade me to Sacramento, but next year when I'm a free agent, I'm not re-signing there. So Sacramento, go ahead, give up whatever you want, but you'll only have me for a year. So, you know, I don't know if you want to do that or not. Ben Simmons has 4 years left on his contract, so he doesn't really have any leverage. You know, wherever he gets traded, he'll be playing there for the next 4 years. Right. So it's an interesting situation. We'll see what happens. As I said, the training camp starts in 3 weeks. Season starts in about a month for NBA. And there's new COVID rules and policies that have come out in both the New York arenas and in San Francisco for the Warriors. The home players are not allowed to play in their home arena if they are not vaccinated. So that's a thing. And that's just due to like state mandates in each of those states or like,
but the visitors are allowed to come and do that because they're not from the state.
I thought it was that no unvaccinated player could play in those arenas, but apparently it's just the home team. Mm-hmm. But there are new rules. Fully vaccinated players will not be subjected to the same amount of testing that they were last year. Mm-hmm. Fully vaccinated coaches, I think, don't have to wear masks on the sidelines anymore. Mm-hmm. And like in arena and in like team facilities and things like that. Referees, I believe, are required to be fully vaccinated if they want to work games.
I think in New York City, the rule is that public facing employees have to be vaccinated.
Uh huh.
So, you know, that might have a piece that, you know, that might be a piece to what these rules are.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. So, and there's different rules on quarantines too. So a fully vaccinated player, if they come in contact with somebody who has tested positive, they don't have to quarantine if they like test negative twice or something, whereas the mm-hmm. non-vaccinated players have to do exactly what it was last year. So, good, you know, good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Charles Barkley was going off on unvaccinated players recently.
Charles Barkley is always going off on something. Right. He's right on this. He's often not, but I'll take it on this.
But he's often entertaining, so.
Always entertaining, I would say, yeah. Did we talk about your favorite Lauri Markkanen last time getting traded?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
He got traded to the Cavs.
Sure did, yeah. Mm-hmm. And in that trade, Lauri
announced... It was like a multi-way trade or something.
Yeah, three-team trade with the Bulls, Cavs and Trailblazers. Mm-hmm. Lauri Nance Jr. ended up on the Trailblazers. Like you said, Markkanen is now on the Cavs, and the Bulls got some draft picks and Derek Jones Jr., I believe.
This is probably not surprising. Markkanen is 7 feet tall, but both of his parents are professional basketball players in, I believe, Finland.
Good genes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he worked very hard as well, but
absolutely.
Good genes.
And I think he has a brother who's a professional football player in Finland or something too. So they're very athletic.
Football or football?
It had two O's in it.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Yes, there. And then also LaMarcus Aldridge, good news. We talked a couple of months ago that he suddenly retired from the league due to a health scare. He had, I think, some blood clots or something like that, or something with his, I think it was actually heart. It was like heart murmurs or something like that. And it was just a sudden retirement. But he has been cleared to play again, and he signed a new contract with the Nets. So
good. He's
back.
Excellent.
Any other news?
Not that I know of.
Let's get into this great next segment, our movie review of Boogie.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think,
Mom? Boogie is the most recently released basketball movie. It was released this calendar year.
Uh-huh.
I was excited to watch it because it is, it focuses on a Chinese-American basketball player, high school basketball player. I don't think we've ever seen a fictional movie with that topic.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the Jeremy Lin documentary.
Yeah.
And it was written and also directed by the writer who wrote, I think he wrote the memoir Fresh Off the Boat, which was then turned into the sitcom Fresh Off the Boat, which I'd seen a couple of times, but has great reviews. So I was like, and this wasn't a comedy movie, but I was like, oh, I'm so excited. Like Fresh Off the Boat is about an immigrant family's experiences. And, you know, this is a brand new, fresh movie. But what I will say to you is that fresh was not something that this movie was.
Yeah.
This was really a very poorly written movie with nothing new to say.
Nothing. I don't know what nothing. What was I supposed to walk away from it with?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It even was just poorly written in continuity of plot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they showed the parents when they were pregnant with Boogie, and they didn't seem to really like each other. They were at a fortune teller.
Yeah.
And it seemed like they didn't really like each other, and they went to the fortune teller to say, like, should we stick it out because we're going to have a baby?
Mm-hmm.
And the fortune teller was like, yeah, stick it out because you have these strengths and weaknesses. You have these strengths and weaknesses. And you can, if you learn to work them together and blah, 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 blah. That was a flashback. Now, flash forward, they clearly hate each other.
Yeah.
They're two totally different people. They're both at various moments completely out of their minds. I would say more often the mother is in this, but I would say the father also had his moments. Just mm-hmm. really... two people who should not be together. And through the whole movie, this was the theme. Then at the end, as kind of a, let's pull back to that flashback and let's wrap it up. One of the things the fortune teller had said to them at that time was like, do things for each other, be nice to each other. And that's how you'll help your love grow. So this flashback shows when Boogie's a little baby, the dad's like making soup for the mom, like a loving thing. And the mother's like happy about it. Well, that makes no sense. It's like, why would you do that? Because it didn't, there's nothing that shows how that got back to the bad part.
Right.
You know, like it wasn't a wrap up like, oh, this is how we got to, you know, maybe they're not completely in love with each other, but they're committed to being a couple and raising this child.
Right. In the end,
no,
the fortune teller was right. You know,
yeah.
It was best for everybody that they did stay together.
And that they each made an effort and they, you know, maybe didn't always love each other, but, you know, all good. No.
No, they were,
made
yeah.
Made no sense. Terrible.
Yeah, it's honestly one of the worst movies I've ever seen. It's really
written.
That's the main problem. I mean, the acting was fine.
It's poorly directed as well. There were moments when I was like, this feels like something that, like, no offense to high school filmmakers, but like this part, like there was a close up on their eyes at one point.
I was like,
this feels like something that a high school filmmaker would do when they're like, and you know, visiting genres of films or whatever. It was really bad.
It was just,
there, and what they thought were going to be surprises weren't, you know, like he's about to, you know, spoiler alert. If you haven't seen the movie, on my recommendation, don't see it anyway. But if you haven't seen the movie, you know, too late. It's been out for a long time now. Spoiler alert. He's about to have sex with a girl he, you know, hooks up with and has a relationship with. And he says he's never done that before and asks her if she has. And she says she has. And he asks with who. And she's like, don't worry about it.
Uh-huh.
Well, oh, my goodness. Guess what? It was with the guy who's his rival. Oh, I'm so shocked when they revealed that.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it was really poorly written. I wrote down that exact same moment of the close-up of the eyes. It was just like that can be used in a certain style of movie for effect, but it was just like sort of randomly in there. Mm-hmm.
And
there's
it was
a lot
towards
of,
the end, so it's not yeah. like it was part of a symbolism that was shown throughout or whatever.
Yeah. Ugh.
I wanted to like this. I was so excited to watch it.
There were really no characters that I was rooting for. I sort of liked Eleanor, the girlfriend, but everybody else was really just a horrible, terrible person mm-hmm. who was mean to everybody around them, including our main character, Boogie, who I'd never once rooted for. He was just a rude little asshole the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't he never grew. He never learned anything. He was never changed. Mm-hmm.
I also anticipated some good, you know, I think it's become a lot more, I think parts of society have become a lot more aware of how white people can say racist things without realizing that we do and without getting that we did, without any malice behind it, but even just an assumption that white culture is the dominant, is like the majority, the main culture, and everything else is the, you know, Asian American as opposed to just American, like that kind of thing. Uh-huh. And there were some classroom scenes where they were reading Catcher in the Rye, and there were hints at some really good, and this was a drama, it wasn't a comedy, so you could delve deeper into subjects. So there were hints that there could have been a little bit more delving deeper into this, because it was a white teacher who picked Catcher in the Rye, that's like such a white coming of age story, and old too, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
old story. And Boogie, who's not an academic kid, read the book and brought up some really good points and started a really good discussion as to white culture being the assumed main culture.
Uh-huh.
Because the teacher was like, this is a coming of age story. This is how we all come of age. And it didn't speak to the other kids in the class. And they kind of touched on it and then they just let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was just bad. It was just really,
terrible.
Really bad.
Terrible. This is my least favorite movie of all of them.
Me too. Mm-hmm. This is, out of the ones we've ranked, we've done a couple of documentaries, but this is the 30th movie that we are ranking. It is number 30 for me.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Because at least, like, the other ones that are towards the bottom, Double Teamed, Full Court Miracle, Fish That Saved Pittsburgh, like there were redeemable qualities about each of them. There were fun parts. There were parts that I enjoyed. There were fun characters, something, you know, something that I could
also
look forward to.
Most of those were older.
Yeah.
Filmmaking and writing and directing has improved, which is what should happen, and which is not, did not happen.
Yes.
Awful.
So that's,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't have a favorite and least favorite. My least favorite was the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. No. We're going to have a palate cleanser for next week.
Okay.
We're going to watch the movie Celtic Pride.
Okay. Cool.
I assume you pronounce it Celtic Pride, even though everywhere except basketball, that word is pronounced Celtic.
Uh-huh.
But in basketball, it's Celtic. So I assume it's Celtic Pride, which uh-huh. is a movie I hadn't heard of, but I know you had.
Yes, yes.
I think when we did Full Court Miracle, it popped up as a, you might want to watch this one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes. That will definitely be, I'm not sure how much better than this one it'll be, but it'll definitely be,
yeah,
like you said, a palate cleanser. Yes. Mm-hmm. So watch that between now and then. And then our last segment of the day is going to be some trivia about you, Mom, because it was just your birthday. for my birthday, we did an entire LeBron episode. We did a LeBron game. So I said, what do you want to do for your birthday episode? You said, for our game, let's do some trivia about you.
What I said was, I want to see what you know about me.
Yeah. So this might make for a very bad birthday present if I don't know anything.
You'll have to send me flowers or something. Dad brainstormed with me some questions, and then I thought about, are any of these going to give away my password or security questions? I don't think they will. I don't think so. None of these are, what is my mother's maiden name or what's the name of my first cat? So I think we're okay.
I know one of those.
Are you ready?
Yes.
You know one of those. Are you ready? Where was I born?
You grew up in Pittsburgh, but you were not born there. In fact, you born in that state.
That is correct.
And now I'm saying, I know for sure, and then I was like, am I second guessing? I'm 90% sure it's Virginia.
You are correct.
But the other 10% of me was saying, is it West Virginia?
No.
But, Virginia.
Now, my grandparents lived across the river from West Virginia, my rural grandparents. I had city grandparents and rural grandparents.
Is that what you called them?
No. Hey, rural grandpa. No.
Yeah.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
I was a dorky little kid. I'm shocked I didn't call them that. All right, you're right. I was like 3 months old when I left Virginia, but yes, I was born in Virginia. All right, one for one.
How many are there?
There are six.
Six
of them, but one's a two-part. This one is the two-part. What was my first job and what was my second job?
Okay. I'm going to guess one of them.
And if you don't get them in the right order, like if you know them and don't get them in the right order, I'll give you credit.
Okay. One of them was ice cream.
That is correct.
Can you tell me if that was first or second, or I have to get the other one first?
That was first.
That was first. Okay. Second, I don't know. But I'll guess because may as well. Your second job was second job working at a bookstore.
Oh, that would have been great. I would have loved that. No, I worked in a tuxedo store.
A tuxedo store. Okay, that rings a little bit of a bell for me.
Yes. I worked in a tuxedo store in the 80s. So the beauty of it was that the Miami Vice rainbow tuxedo wedding party was in. So we had a lot of white pants with pastel colored jackets, but it would be like the guys would be a blue pastel jacket, a coral pastel jacket, a green, like a different color on each guy. And the worst part is at one point, you know, if we had the tuxedo store, we placed the orders and then the truck would come once so we can drop off the tuxedos. Then we would have the guys try them on when they came in. And if they didn't fit right, if they were too long, I had to fix them. I did not know how to sew.
Oh.
So I had to actually get people's tuxedos ready for their weddings and sew the hem at the bottom of them if they weren't the right size. Can you believe that?
Wow, crazy? Mom. That is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you got 1.5 out of 2.
Okay, I'll take it.
Ready for number 3. What was my first car?
Oh, I don't know anything about cars. Your first car, I'm going to guess, was a sedan.
You're incorrect.
Your first car, of course, was a van.
Incorrect.
Your first car, of course, had to be an SUV.
Incorrect. I didn't even know if SUVs existed then.
It was definitely a truck. It was a pickup truck.
Wrong.
It had to be a limo.
Did you see that your cousin has a pickup truck right now because it's a rental because her car is in the shop? Did you see that pickup truck at their house yesterday? That's your cousin's.
Oh.
It's a rental, you know, because her car's in the shop, but
uh-huh.
Isn't that great?
Oh, wow.
My first car was a hatchback.
Hatchback. Okay.
Which I think they call a three-door now, but a hatchback. It was a red Chevy Chevette. It was a 1976 red Chevy Chevette, and I had it in about 1986. So
nice.
I thought it was 10 years old. And Prince was pretty popular back then, so we used to sing Little Red Chevette every time I arrived somewhere or went outside to get my car.
Fun. Nice.
Okay. All right, ready? Number four, what high school did I go to?
Oh, damn it. I should have studied before this.
I picked really basic questions.
You went to, Penn Trafford.
Yes, very good. Very good. All right.
Thanks.
When I went to college.
I know which college you went to.
What was the name of my sorority?
Oh, no. You've definitely sang it for me before.
I was the pledge master of my sorority.
You were in...
Which is where I developed my parenting skills.
What song was the... Where did the letters go in? Can you give me that?
No.
Oh.
Because the letters... It wasn't like that.
Phi Kappa Gamma.
Phi Epsilon.
I knew it started with Phi.
For our listeners, Phi Epsilon was a local sorority at Hofstra University, so it was not a national. So if you're looking for it, all of you listeners, you won't find it. And it has since, it is no longer allowed on Hofstra's campus. You can Google it if you want to find out why. But,
that was after your time. That wasn't your fault.
Well, after my time is when it was removed from Hofstra's campus, yes.
I'm saying
that is correct.
It wasn't when you were in it that it got removed.
It was not. We were not caught doing anything when I was in it.
I like that wording of it.
Uh-huh.
Not caught doing.
So when you read about why it was removed from Hofstra's campus, I was not caught doing any of those things.
So I have what, 2.5 out of 5?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I gotta get this one because I need at least half. I need at least 50%.
Last one. This is a multi-part one, but you don't have to get all of them. If you get one of them, I'll give you half credit. If you get more than one, I'll give you full credit.
Okay.
What were my various majors, college majors, in my time at Hofstra? I had a number of them. I didn't graduate with more than one major. I only graduated with one, but I switched several times.
Well, I have one idea.
This is why I'm only giving you half credit for that.
I might get the wrong wording of it. Like, I don't know if it's the right speech pathology. I don't know.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. Yes.
You were also a business major at one point, but I don't know if I have to get more specific than that.
You do.
Business marketing.
Incorrect. And the only reason you had to get more specific than that is because I had two different business majors. I started with my business administration major, and then when Dad told me I should not be a business major, we can get into that later. He didn't think I was the business type. I looked around
because he thought you were another type. To be fair, he wasn't like you suck at this. He was like you like this other thing more than this.
It actually coincided when I had to take economics and statistics. Not statistics. I think it was economics and something else that I had to. We had to go to the computer lab to do stuff, and I was really bad at whatever that was. So I was like, I think you might be right. So then I looked into other things because I had a lot of business credits, I said, well, maybe I should go into education. Maybe I could be a business teacher. Because when I was in high school, we had different tracks you could graduate with. And I graduated on the business and secretarial track. So I was like, I liked my business teachers. I could do that. They were cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then that really didn't cut it for me either. So, all right, I'll give you half a credit for that. So that brings you to a total of 3 points. Out of 6.
Okay, 50%. I'll take it. And you know what?
To
be fair, I deserve more than half credit for the jobs. Because the first one's more important. First one is more important.
No.
Second one, like, what's your first? Like, nobody asks, what's your second job? I know your first job. That's the big one.
They were both, but that was the question, though.
Okay. Are you happy? Are you happy with me getting 3 out of 6? Are you unhappy?
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. I'm
you'd
right.
say
I'm,
you're I'm, you'd say you're 50-50 on that.
Yes, and I would also say I'm not surprised that you didn't do better.
Wow.
I'm just the mother. Nobody cares about my history and what
well,
my life's been about.
2 days from now is my half birthday, so maybe I'll throw some questions back at you about me. We'll see how well you do.
You know, because yesterday, my birthday is Dad's half birthday. Mm-hmm. And Dad got an email from the place where he gets his contacts and glasses. And for his half birthday, they're offering him half price.
Oh.
So maybe you'll get that too.
Hopefully I will. I haven't been there in a very long time. I need to go back.
You really do. All right, so that's it for episode 35. Send in your questions, comments, movie thoughts, and guest suggestions to familycourtvision@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @FamCourtVision, and don't forget to subscribe or follow on Google Podcasts, Spotify, and give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next week on Family Court Vision,
the mother of all basketball podcasts.